This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut gets caught up with clean slate cases. Suffolk officials are warning of a gold bar scam. Connecticut and New York reach a settlement with 23andMe. Plus, murder, music, and mayhem. Meet the mind behind a new film premiering right here in our region next week. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. More than 170,000 people have had low-level criminal records erased under Connecticut's Clean Slate law. But as WSHU's Molly Ingram reports, it took the state far longer than expected.
The state passed the law in 2021. It was supposed to automatically erase misdemeanors after 7 years and certain low-class felonies after 10 years. Erasures were supposed to start at the beginning of 2023, but the state says old computers slowed the process down considerably. Rick Green is with the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, which oversees the program.
We are now fully caught up with our clean slate cases, which means that more than 170,000 people have had their records erased. That amounts to nearly 350,000 cases.
Now, advocates say they want to make sure people know their records have been erased. Green says they hope to have a system set up to tell people by the end of this year, but that they shouldn't necessarily be held to that, given their track record. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Suffolk County officials are warning residents about a financial scam that persuades victims to invest in gold bars. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports they also want to pass laws to protect consumers.
Police say they've handled about a dozen so-called gold bar scams this year. That's where criminals pressure victims, usually elderly people with sizable assets, to convert their investments into gold that the scammers then steal. District Attorney Ray Tierney says the county legislature should pass new laws to protect consumers from the scammers.
There will be a 48-hour hold on any first-time buyers who are attempting to purchase over $50,000 in gold, and precious metal dealer staff will be required to ask specific questions of any gold purchases age 60 or older.
He says that 48-hour hold would allow the dealer to involve law enforcement if the purchase seems suspicious. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Former New Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart has returned more than $183,000 in unspent public funds, money that would have been used for her gubernatorial campaign. WSHU's Maura Staples has more.
Recent campaign filings show that Stewart had already spent over $1 million in her run for governor, which came to an abrupt end in May following allegations over her use of public funds while she was in office. Stewart has now returned the remaining $183,175 from her campaign to the Connecticut Citizens Election Fund, which had awarded her a grant of over $820,000 back in January. The U.S. Department of Justice has also launched an investigation into Stewart. She has been accused of spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on personal purchases during her 12 years as mayor. Maura Staples, WSHU News.
The film Morton Meets the Eye is not your average movie. It's a murder mystery, comedy, and a musical, and its East Coast premiere is a fundraising event for WSHU. A conversation on that is coming up.
WSHU and the Westport Writers Workshop invite Connecticut writers to take part in Connecticut Voices, a new storytelling collaboration. The theme is, What Haunts You? Start writing, revising, or fine-tuning your story now. Submissions open September 1st. The winning writer will receive $250 and the chance to tell your original story on WSHU. Learn more at WSHU.org.
The Suffolk County Water Authority has declared a Stage 1 alert for Southhold, Shelter Island, Southampton, and East Hampton. That means no lawn watering at all unless, quote, absolutely necessary. Officials say they're concerned that fire hydrants won't have enough pressure to respond to fire emergencies. And speaking of which, an unwelcome visitor has returned to Connecticut skies. Smoke from Canadian wildfires that turns the sky that ugly orange-yellow color and lowers air quality. The smoke infamously blanketed the state for weeks back in 2023. Meteorologists say this year's smoke shouldn't be nearly as bad, but it's still noticeable as of this afternoon. A weightlifter from Huntington has been arrested for Social Security fraud. The New York State Attorney General says 40-year-old Raymond Phillips illegally collected $100,000 in benefits after claiming he injured his arms, but pictures and videos from social media allegedly show him competing in weightlifting competitions. Attorneys general in Connecticut and New York say they've reached a $150 million settlement with 23andMe, a direct-to-consumer genetic testing company. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
A data breach in 2023 compromised the genetic data of millions of 23andMe customers worldwide. Connecticut and New York joined a multi-state investigation that found the company engaged in, quote, unreasonable data security practices. The investigation found in some cases, data like genetic information made its way up for sale on the dark web. The company filed for bankruptcy protection in March 2025. As part of the bankruptcy proceedings, it sold assets like consumer data. More than 300,000 New Yorkers and 65,000 Connecticut residents had their data compromised. The company will pay about $18 million of bankruptcy funds immediately. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
The film Morton Meets the Eye is not your average movie. It's a murder mystery, a comedy, and a musical. And on Monday, July 20th, the film will have its East Coast premiere during a fundraising event for WSHU at the SHU Community Theater in Fairfield. One of the film's co-writers is Easton, Connecticut native John Sonneborn, and he dropped by our studios to talk about the making of the film with WSHU's Randy Kay.
John Sonneborn, welcome to WSHU.
It's great being here with you, Randy.
So tell me about Morton Meets the Eye.
Well, it's a musical comedy, and it was made because I've gotten involved in the last 15, 20 years producing low-budget horror films and low-budget thrillers. I'm not crazy. If my mother didn't like something, she'd say, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy about it. I'm not crazy about horror films. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking for some time, is it possible to make a low-budget musical comedy? And the answer is, yes, we did it.
It's more than a musical comedy, though. It's like a murder mystery. And, I mean, the trailer is so much fun. And you're in it as well,
right.
Correct?
Yep. Disclosure, I'm Morton.
Oh.
Okay. But I'm not going to be speaking as Morton here because we wouldn't get anything done.
Now, John, just a bit about you. What got you into this creative field of theater and movie making?
Well, I've always been involved in businesses. The last one, which we sold 11 years ago, was Really Good Stuff, housed in Monroe. But my love is film, and my graduate degree is in film history, and I've also always taught film history on the side.
Like in universities?
I've taught at Hunter College and at John Carroll University in Cleveland and University of Bridgeport way back when.
Okay.
But only a course here and a course there, always part-time. And for the last 3 or 4 decades, and I'm not exaggerating, I've done a regular film programs out in Easton at the public library. So we show classic movies and we have discussions. So I've always had a love of film.
So without giving spoilers, can you kind of share what the plot of the film is?
Well, I can tell you a little something about it without giving spoilers. Morton is a very peculiar guy, and he's very obsessive. Now, the world's greatest detective, as everyone knows, is this elusive guy named The Eye.
E-Y-E, by the way.
E-Y-E, The Eye. The only thing people know is that he goes by Lombardi or The Eye. But no one knows who he is, and Morton is determined to find out. And he gets a hint because he knows that there's going to be a TV series based upon The Eye's greatest cases. So he gets himself invited to a lunch where he's sure The Eye is going to be, and all of a sudden people start dropping dead.
Just to mention, July 20th, it's not only getting to see the film, but anybody who comes to the premiere, and tickets and the trailer are available at WSHU.org. There's going to be a talk back afterwards with you and with the cast and producers.
Right. Several people in the cast will be there. The director will be there. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
If you have ever thought about making a film and you want to know about the process, if you just want to have a great night out with a really fun film, come see Morton Meets the Eye. Tickets and the trailer are available on our website, wshu.org. John, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Randy.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and of course, tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. We would love to connect with you over on Instagram. If you're not giving us a follow already, please do. We are at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back tomorrow.